Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Under the Fig Tree. I'm Troy.
And I'm Keisha.
And we got a quick hitter for you today. Every so often throughout the seasons, we might throw a little quick hitter in there just to kind of see where everybody is, something that's probably been laid on our heart. Just want to talk about briefly.
Yes.
Maybe I shouldn't say briefly.
But we'll see how long this is.
That is. Sometimes you get up to teach or to preach, you say, I'm not going to be before you long.
2 hours later.
But we'll see what happens. You had a passage that you wanted to talk about.
I did. It's that Galatians 2:20 passage,
which is a favorite of mine, one of my favorites.
But yeah, I've just been kind of thinking of it. I just wanted to throw it out there. So here it is. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Love that passage. I've always loved that passage. That passage brings great comfort. But let's talk about it.
Okay. I am crucified with Christ. What does that mean?
So when we're looking at being crucified with Christ, it's a couple things we need to look at. So the way that's written, and I could give you the whole sentence structure breakdown. I don't think I'm going to do that now.
Okay.
Because there's an indicative mood in which it's written and a perfect tense in which part of it is written. I don't want to do all that. We'll do that some other time.
Okay.
But in a nutshell, when it says that I am crucified with Christ, it's telling us that when Christ died, I died with him, which is like, okay, genius. We get that, right? But I need you to understand what that means. There's people that will tell you that you have to deal with the old man, right? And the old man still lives, and the old man's been crucified. And I know a lot of people will say that, and some people will disagree with that. The Bible will tell you otherwise. The old man has been crucified. Okay. What you're dealing with is the influence that the old man had. Okay. Which means you cannot live a life of sin for 45 years and come to Christ and forget how to sin.
You know how to sin.
You still know how to sin, right?
Exactly.
You could be walking with Christ for 50 years and you still know how to sin.
Yeah.
Right. So the influence that the old man had, because he's crucified, that's what you're fighting. You're not fighting the old man. You're not fighting the flesh. You're fighting the influence of the old man and the influence of the flesh.
Okay.
This is what gets crucified with Christ. It's you and him. When he died, you died. So it's so funny because we exist in time.
Yeah.
He doesn't. And so when you said, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life, at that point, boom, crucified, right? At that point, there's almost like this time travel, right? To where spiritually, you're not existing in time anymore. At the time that he was crucified, you too were crucified with him. Does that make sense?
Yes. And even if you don't accept, let me ask you this. What if I never accept Jesus as my savior? Am I crucified with Christ?
So Jesus is the savior of the world for everyone.
Right.
For everyone. Whether you accept him or not, he is the savior of the world. That application of salvation only applies to those who do accept him, and he accepts them. It's the other part that we forget, right? So if I go to the White House, right, and I say, hey, I know Joe, let me in, they're not gonna let me in. Right? Why won't they let me in?
Because they don't know you.
Because Joe don't know me.
And Joe don't know you. Right.
Right. You see what I mean? And so I can only have access, not because I know him, but he also has to know me. This is why in the end, there's some that say, Lord, didn't I do this? He said, depart from me. I never
knew
you. there's a knowing that I have to have of him, but there's also a knowing that he has to have of me.
But the opportunity is there for everybody. For
everybody.
Because God so loved the world. So for everyone to be known and to know.
The crucifixion is for everyone. And everyone has the opportunity to be crucified with Christ. Now, we also crucify our flesh daily.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And again, that is the influence of the old man that exists in our psyche. It exists in our in our soulish realm, right? The mind, your will, your emotions, it exists there. That's the part that you're crucifying every day. But the spiritual crucifixion, that happened on the cross, and this is where we were crucified with him. So the beauty of it is when he died, I think in Colossians it talks about all of the accusations that were against me were nailed to the cross with him.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't just the accusations that were nailed to the cross. So was I. Mm. And when he went down, so did I. Mm. Right. Mm. And when he got up, so did I. Mm. But the accusation stayed there. Mm-hmm. So we rise with him. The Bible talks about that. When he rose, we rise with him. Right. Mm-hmm. But the accusations that were nailed on the cross with him, along with us, we got up, but the accusation stayed.
That makes sense. So you are crucified with Christ spiritually,
yes,
but you have to deal with this flesh.
Yes, you
because
do.
Because Paul says, nevertheless, I live, yet not I.
Yeah. So
that's crazy. That
I have been trying to get away from this. I shouldn't say get away from it. The better way to say it keeps coming up. Mm. It keeps coming up. It keeps coming up. I've been crucified, which means I died. Mm-hmm. Then it says, nevertheless, I live. Wait a minute. I'm living, but I'm dead. Mm. It always brings me back to Romans 12, that you present your bodies a
living sacrifice.
I'm living, but I'm dead.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm dead to this world.
Yeah.
I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. I'm dead to this world. I'm dead to sin. Mm. I'm dead to all that kind of stuff. And I'm alive to Christ.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's where it brings me to, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but
Christ lives in me.
Yeah. And so
that's
now
good.
I love that, because even though he died, he's alive in me. Mm-hmm. Yes, he rose. We know he lives forevermore. But I think one of those great mysteries of the universe is, how can Christ live in me? Mm-hmm. How can he be the creator and sustainer of all things? And I know that's going to mess with some people's theology. Just go back and read John. Read John. All things were created by
him,
and without
him
was nothing made.
Right.
So he's the creator of all things. Right. Mm-hmm. But how can the creator of all things shrink himself down to live in me and you and to all these listeners at the same time? It's one of those great mysteries. I don't know how he does it. If I knew, I'd be God. And I'm not God. But this is the life that we live. It's him living in us. We should be a reflection of who he is to this world.
You know, it's really a mystery, I will say, because when you read this, I am crucified with Christ. I don't feel crucified at all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't experience that pain. I've got certain fleshly desires that come up. Like, I'm thinking about chocolate. I'm thinking about, you know.
Right now.
You know what I'm saying? On this podcast, right? But, you know, there's certain things that come up. And I think we really have to meditate on the word and let the spirit of our mind be renewed, because it's a spiritual thing that we're experiencing. And this flesh that we're in has to come under subjection, mm-hmm. I should say, to the spirit. And it's a new life. It's a new way of living. Whereas when we were in the world, flesh dominated everything. Whatever the flesh did, we did. Whatever we wanted to do, we did.
Yeah.
Whether you think that or not, whatever you really wanted to do, you did. You found a way to do it.
Yep.
Because flesh was going to help you find a way. So now you're learning to be crucified with Christ and to live from the spirit man and the life. And it says, it goes on, and the life which I now live in the flesh.
In the flesh, not by the flesh.
Not by the flesh. In a fleshly body.
Uh-huh.
I live by faith. I live by faith of the Son of God.
Oh, man.
Okay, I want you to speak to that. I live by faith of the Son of God.
It says, I live by the faith of the Son of God, right? Mm-hmm. What does that faith of the Son of God look like? Okay. long, long, long time ago, there was a man named Abram. And Abram was able to witness something that was incredible. Mm-hmm. Now, this is gonna debunk some theology, and it may cause some people to dig into the word, which is a good thing.
Yes.
Okay. It's a good thing. And it may cause you to rethink what you may have been taught. Mm. Okay. But we can back it up biblically.
Okay.
Okay. Abram was able to witness something that was incredible. And there was the cutting of a covenant. Right?
Right.
Now, Abram, the covenant was not cut through Abram. What we've been taught is that the covenant was cut through Abram. It was not cut through Abram. Okay. Mm-hmm. The covenant was cut, and you'll see this in Genesis 14, 13, 14, somewhere around there.
I'm going to try to find it while you're talking.
Abram goes into a trance-like state. Okay.
Yeah.
And this was after God had already told him, I need you to pick a couple animals. There were specific animals that he told him to get, cut these animals in half and put the parts on either side.
Genesis 15.
Mm-hmm. There we go. Now, when he puts the animals in two piles, right? Mm-hmm. You got to think at this time in that culture, this was a covenant activity. So Abram's probably already thinking there's a covenant coming. Right. Mm-hmm. Now, what would happen when you cut a covenant is you would have two parties stand back to back in between those animals, those piles of animals, mm-hmm. and they will walk in a figure eight motion at the same speed and same pace until they eventually met back in the middle and they were standing face to face. Okay.
That makes sense.
And now they're showing that we weren't in relationship first and now we're coming into relationship.
Okay.
Okay. Not really saying you weren't in relationship, but
yeah, in a new way.
You're in a new way. Right. Okay. That's a beautiful way to say it. When Abram lays out those animals, God puts him into a trance-like state and he's able to witness a furnace and a pillar of fire.
Okay.
Okay. And the furnace and the pillar of fire were moving in between the two piles of animals. Mm. And what this was the cutting of a covenant between a furnace and the pillar of fire.
Right.
We see the furnace and the smoke. We see that on the mountain in Exodus when the people came to meet God. And it says the whole mountain was on smoke, right? Mm-hmm. It also says because of fire. So that you still had the two of them there together. Mm. Now, I love that stuff. But we see that the fire is represented in Revelation when it talks about Jesus. It talks about him and his eyes being like a lamp of fire and all this kind of stuff, you know. So we have those two persons of the same Godhead present. Mm. And they're moving in between the pieces of animals, the two piles of animals. Mm-hmm. So what you have is God the Father and God the Son cutting covenant.
And Abraham's the witness.
Abram's allowed to come into covenant through circumcision because you also have to shed blood to come into the covenant. Right? Mm. So he's able to come into the covenant through circumcision. That's the first thing that he did when he woke up from that. Right? Mm. But the covenant was cut between God and Jesus.
Yeah.
God is telling Jesus at some point, you're going to have to come into this world. You're going to have to live as a man. You're going to have to suffer as a man. You're going to have to die as a man.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to turn my back on you, but I will not leave you in that state. This is a promise that God is making to his own son. We good?
Yeah. And I'm looking at verse 18. If you can explain verse 18 of Genesis, it says, okay, so it says, I'm going to start at 17. It came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. And it says, in the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram.
He made a covenant with Abram, but he didn't cut it through Abram.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I wanted to clarify that. Okay. So he made a covenant with Abram, but he didn't cut it through Abram.
It's a great question. You asked that, right? Mm-hmm. But we're going to look at it biblically, right?
Okay.
Okay. So Abram was heir to that promise, right? Mm-hmm. He was able to enter into that promise But the covenant was not cut through Abram.
Okay.
There's a reason why the covenant wasn't cut through Abram. God already knew, I'm going to be a covenant partner. I'm going to keep my end of the bargain.
Yeah.
Right? I do need to make a covenant with mankind.
Mm.
Right? But there's no man who can keep his end of the bargain.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And so in Hebrews 6, chapter 13, it says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater,
he swore by himself. That's good.
He swore by himself.
Okay, that's
good. I know I'll keep up my end of the bargain.
Yeah.
And I know my son will keep up his end of the bargain.
Yeah.
And so I will cut this covenant between the two of us and then allow man to enter in through circumcision.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense now. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. And so you have all this going on. I forgot what question I was supposed to be answering anyway. But you have all the...
Yeah, yet I live. I think that's where we were.
You have all this. Was that where we were? Yet I live.
Mm-hmm.
Life that I now live. I live
in Christ.
So mm-hmm. This is what the actual faith of the Son of God looks like, is that promise of covenant that God made with himself. I will not leave you in this state.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
So now Jesus, because he has a promise from the Father and he knows the Father cannot lie.
Yeah.
Now he's able to endure all these things, these sufferings and stuff like that. Oh, by the way, it says that for the joy that was set before him, which is all of us, he endured the cross.
And that's the faith of the Son of God. That's the faith of the Son of God. And that's how we live.
That's
crazy.
That faith that he had, I can go through all this because I know my Father won't leave me like this.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the faith that we live by now.
Now, some versions do say faith in the Son of God, mm-hmm. but mine says faith of the Son of God. And I felt like that was really significant interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I go to the Strong's, let me scroll down here. It's of, you know, when I go into it, it's of, it's not in. And I think the translators try to say in
mm-hmm.
because they didn't know. But see, the faith of the Son of God means it's his faith that is causing me to be able to even enter into this covenant and to live.
His faith is perfect.
Man, that's awesome.
His faith is perfect. So I live by the faith of the Son of God who did what? Who loved me.
And gave himself for me. Amen.
What better way to end that, you know? For God so loved the world
that he gave
himself for me. So while you guys are listening to this, I want you to reflect on your salvation and understand this is where you are. This is what God has afforded you. And when you're doing this, start to seek the Father and say, hey, what else is in that bag for me? What else is in this salvation bag? And maybe we'll do a podcast on that one day.
Yeah.
That what else comes with salvation. But I'm Troy.
And I'm Tisha.
And we thank you so much for joining us here.
Under the Fig Tree.